Hello and welcome to Sewing Bee Unpicked with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And we're on week 8, 1930s week. But before we get into that, got to do our disclaimer. We are not associated with the Great British Sewing Bee, with Love Production, or with the BBC. This is just a personal podcast giving our personal opinions on the show. Right, back to the 1930s. What were your thoughts on this theme?
I really, really love this one. Whenever they do that kind of your old vintage kind of week, I really, really enjoy it because the patterns are always stunning. But yeah, this one scared me a little bit. I love the pattern challenge and I would have loved to have taken part in the pattern challenge, but I probably would have been as lost as everyone else was. The transformation looked fun. I would have loved to have done the made to measure challenge, but I probably would have got kicked out from this episode.
So this one would have been a downfall.
This would have been my downfall.
When I found out it was 1930s, I didn't really know what to think because I don't know an awful lot about the 1930s. I didn't really do history in school after you could drop it, and 1930s, I'm not super familiar with what was going on in kind of fashion then. Like, I know about the 20s, like the roaring 20s, and and then the 40s and 50s, I know a little bit more regarding kind of what fashion was doing in those areas. But the 30s has always been a kind of a little bit of a question mark for me. So I was quite intrigued to see what was happening. So let's dive into the pattern challenge, which was some sailor trousers, which were wide-legged with concealed pockets, a bib front with 6 buttons, and then I think an additional 2 buttons inside to secure the trousers. I thought when they announced this, oh, fantastic, because I've actually wanted to make some trousers like this. Then when they got into it, this has kind of put me off making these trousers. These are so much more complicated than you think they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it boggled my mind, and it appeared to really confuse all of the contestants as well. It really didn't seem like any of them had a proper handle on what was going on. What did you think about it as a pattern?
I was in the same boat as you. I've wanted to make a pair like this for ages. I think they look really stylish. I mean, I do not look good in wide leg trousers, but they just look like a fun thing to make. And yeah, when you started to see kind of the internal construction of these trousers, I was like, oh, it makes sense. Because I mean, if you think, if you've got buttons either side, they're supposed to be a really elegant looking, stylish fit. So if you've got buttons at the sides rather than a zip, you're going to end up with gapping. So that makes sense of that kind of little bit behind the bib to kind of give it a bit more support and strength. But I never knew that was there. So yeah, I wouldn't mind doing it, but yeah, I might need about a week to complete it. Yeah. I would have loved to have been there and taken part in it, but I probably would have failed massively at this one.
What fabric do you think you would have chosen?
Oh, I would have either gone for kind of a heavy cotton or a really light denim. Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to go for anything. I wouldn't have wanted to go for quite a thick denim, because when you looked at some of the layers that they were having to go through, I think my machine would have given up on me. I probably would have gone for more of a lightweight denim or a heavyweight cotton.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, because they were having to go through quite a lot of layers. So I was thinking, yeah, kind of a lightweight denim or light cotton twill. Something like that. And then I was thinking I'd probably like to do something like a navy, maybe with some white buttons or red buttons or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, see that.
Adam from the last year's Zone B, he would have been all over this.
He would have loved this one. I mean, there were quite a few challenges this season that he would have really have loved.
Lots
very
of nautical.
Kind of nautical themed.
So much nautical themed stuff this year. So let's start talking about how they got on. So going from bottom to top, last place we had Annie, who'd used, it looked to me like a green kind of cotton twill.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like wooden buttons as well. There were a lot of issues with this, and she kind of went rogue and went kind of off-piste and did her own thing.
Yeah, I kind of sympathise with Annie. I think I would have ended up doing the exact same thing that she did. Great fabric choice, loved the colour of it. But yeah, there were quite a lot of structural issues, buttons being the wrong way round. I mean, even on that kind of internal panel, there was one button going one way, one button going the other way. It was messy. It was quite messy. But yeah, I kind of feel like I would have been on the same level as Annie in this one. This would have completely baffled me. So yeah, I cannot critique because I would have been in the exact same boat as she was.
Yeah, from a distance, before they kind of started peeking into the trousers closer, from a distance, they looked all right. They looked fine, I thought. But then once you actually opened that bib up, then it was kind of the full horrors could be seen. And there was, all sorts of stuff going on. Right, so let's leave Annie's there. Number four was Brogan, who had used a navy fabric. I couldn't quite tell what it was. I didn't know if it was kind of like a light denim, maybe.
Yeah, I got a light denim. That's the vibe I was getting from it.
And she'd used flower buttons. There were a few issues with kind of a misaligned waistband. The buttons popped off as soon as Esme looked at them.
She stitched down a pocket with a button.
She stitched through the pockets, yeah. So there was quite a few issues going on here. What did you think of the trousers?
From a distance, they look really well constructed. They did look really, really good. I have to say, though, with the fabric and the button choice, I was getting more of a 60s vibe rather than a 30s vibe. I was getting a little bit of flower power, hippie kind of vibe from them. So it kind of distracted away from that kind of 1930s silhouette and kind of gave me more of a Woodstock vibe.
I hadn't thought of that at the time, but now you say it, I totally see it. I am not a fan of flower buttons. To me, they just seem really naff. I'm not kidding. Unless they're on like a little girl's dress.
Yeah.
Like if you're, 12 and under, you can get away with flower buttons. If you're over, they make me kind of cringe a little bit.
I completely agree with you on that.
I think I'm funny with buttons because for me, sometimes I can be completely turned off a garment if it's got the wrong buttons on it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. I mean, I've got a mold for some flower buttons, but they're more of an ornate kind of flower rather than the kind of chunky flower buttons that she was using.
Like kind of vintage flower.
Yeah, so I haven't used this mold yet. I'd like to see what they look like once they're done. But from the picture that I saw, it looked quite interesting. If they look really tacky, I will throw that mold in the bin. I'm not going to give that house space if it looks really.
You'll gift it to somebody, I'm sure, rather than throw it in the bin.
I will find a way to recycle it and maybe turn it into a knee pad or something.
We should probably explain to the listeners that you make your own buttons with resin.
I do. I've Still practicing, still trying to get ratios right. But yes, I am creating my own buttons now, which is a lot of fun, especially when you just can't find that button that you really want. So yeah, I've got some nice ideas at the moment, some of them using sea glass, which I hope will look really, really nice once they're cured. But yes, I make my own buttons, which is dead fun. Not gonna lie though, I still do buy buttons when I can't be bothered to make them.
Well, I have also started copying you, and I've bought some button molds, and I'm gonna also start making buttons as well. And I'm super excited. Me, my mum, and my sister went on a resin workshop, and we've bought all of the resin stuff we can. We've got all the colours, all the glitters, all the pigments.
Nice.
So
just make sure you put the lids on properly.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't put the lid on a couple of things properly and went back to them, and it was a glitter explosion. So yeah, and I'm still finding glitter now.
I had some very glittery hands when I finished our last little play session last weekend. I opened one of them up and there was glitter all caught around the rim, and it just but I'm also starting to dry flowers from my garden and put those in resin. So I've got some really tiny, tiny flowers that I'm going to dry, and I'm going to put those into some buttons as well.
Sounds cute.
I'm hoping it'll be cute. Anyway, we've gone totally off.
Yeah, we've gone rogue.
So Brogans look good again from a distance, but up close there were issues. Let's move on to third place.
Not like the buttons.
Let's not talk about the buttons. Third place, we've got Deborah, who had used it. It looked like a blue denim to me.
Yeah, I got blue denim.
Good, right. So she'd used a blue denim, and it was a little thicker. I think hers was probably the thickest out of everybody's. And it caused some issues with her corners being a little bit bulky. There was also a little hole at the bottom of the pocket. And she got her lap wrong way round.
The
overlap sections the wrong way round. I loved the buns that she picked. I thought they were really cool. They kind of looked resiny with different coloured bits in them. I'm all about the buttons today. God,
yeah, we are all about them. I mean, the buttons are a statement bit on this garment. It's not like they're just a structural thing. They are a statement feature on these.
Yes, and I think that it was a good choice with the fabric. I thought they were classy buttons, and I thought that the whole ensemble together looked very elegant. It's very, Deborah's got such a good eye for putting things together like this, and she always puts together a very chic and elegant outfit. So I, apart from a couple minor issues, I think she did pretty amazingly.
Yeah, I think she did really, really well. Like you said, there were a couple of small little issues, but yeah, her fabric choice was great. Would have been a bit better if she could find something just a little bit thinner. This was more of the sort of denim that you'd make work wear dungarees, jackets from, rather than kind of elegant trousers. But yeah, I think she did a great choice. The colours were great. The buttons were great. It all worked well. She really does have an eye for design and putting things together, which I'm very envious of. Yeah, I think she did really, really well.
Yeah, it's funny you say about that dungarees, that now you've said it, that it really was that kind of dungaree denim. I've made a pair of mustard dungarees, I think, in a very similar fabric to that. And I can see how it would be maybe a little bit stiff. And as you're wearing them, they might not be as comfortable as if you do slightly thinner denim. But generally, I thought they looked really great. So moving into second place, we have Christian, who'd used a purple linen or cotton linen mix fabric. I thought they looked nice. He'd done the buttonholes going the wrong way, which Esme picked him up on. That didn't super bother me. But everything else seemed like it was pretty well sewn. So yeah, I thought they were quite cute.
I think you did really, really well. They looked good. I loved the buttons that he picked for it. They just worked really, really well, but also didn't blend in. They stood out nicely, but not too, oh, that's a button and a half. Not like Brogan's buttons where you go, oh, really? His colouring, his choice of buttons, everything worked really well. Yeah, it was just a shame about the buttonholes. But again, I wasn't massively offended. I wouldn't have noticed. But then that's why we're not judges.
Yeah.
That's why you got Patrick and Esme as judges on this, not us.
Not us. Yeah, it would be a very different show. So first place went to Manu, who had used a blue fabric, which looked like a lightweight denim to me. And I mean, I don't know what to say about this. It was incredibly neat. She'd done the pockets well. I think the best out of everybody, especially around the bottom of the pocket, was super neat. They looked lovely. They looked like something you could buy from, you know, a good high street store. Fantastic work, Manu.
They were exceptionally good. I was really, really happy for Manu because she did have that little falter a little while ago where I kind of thought, oh, are we at risk of going home at some point? And yeah, she's doing so well. I'm so, so happy to see it. Yeah, they were just fantastic. Great choice of fabric, great choice of buttons. She's probably the one out of the lot of them that actually fully read the instructions and went step by step while sewing. I think everyone else kind of panicked and ditched the instructions, whereas Manu was like, no, I'm going to stick to this and make sure everything is perfect. But yeah, she did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I think I would have been one of the others that sometimes when I'm sewing, I get to a point where I've like, I've gone too far. I'm going to have to unpick too much. I'm just going to bodge this and get to the end. Yeah. When really I should sit there and be like, no, I'm going to unpick it. I'm going to redo it. I'm going to do it properly. But I just can't be bothered a lot of the time.
But there was lots of recutting in this challenge as well. Lots of people cut pockets out the wrong way round. So, yeah, that I think that's where quite a few people lost minutes to get this thing done because a lot of them were having to go back, redo bits. So, yeah, I think Manu did really, really well. I would just also like to point out, did you catch the whole Sarah calling a rotary cutter a pizza cutter?
Yeah. I mean, essentially they are, aren't they?
I mean, yeah, they're not far off from each other, but you know, it's like when someone asks to borrow scissors and you know they're going to use your fabric scissors. And it's just, and it was just one of those moments where I was just like, I just had flashbacks of me like having to shout at people going like, not those scissors, anything but those scissors, and then explaining why you can't use fabric scissors. And I'm just sat there going, oh my God, please don't ever cut a pizza with like a rotary cutter. One, like the blades aren't exactly wide enough, so you'll just end up running the front of it through the pizza and knocking loads of cheese and toppings off. But also just please don't ever use, no matter how desperate you get in life, do not use a rotary cutter for fabric to cut a pizza. Just don't do it. Life is not worth it.
Exactly. I was going to say, oh, well, when my rotary cutter gets blunt, maybe I'll start using it as a pizza cutter. But actually, I just remembered you take the blades off and put new blades on.
I can just imagine like cheese and like tomato stains on everyone's rotary cutter. You know, like when you take the old blade off and they're a little bit dusty on the inside.
Yeah,
I can just imagine like just where the plastic has like been tarnished by the tomato sauce. It's got like an orange stain to it. Oh my God, it's giving me nightmares.
I quite often take fabric into work and cut it at work because we have an enormous 10-foot long table and it's really high as well. So it's perfect for cutting fabric on because when I'm cutting it on lower tables, my back always hurts.
Yeah.
So I do that, but a few times work colleagues have come over and picked up my fabric scissors and I've got all twitchy and been like, what are you doing with those?
Put those down.
Those are not for you.
Well, I would like to give a little shout out. I may have, seeing as my last pair of fabric scissors have gone a little bit blunt. They are 3 years old now and they've been sharpened, but they've just reached that point where they're like, it's time to give up. I have just treated myself to a pair of Patrick Grant fabric scissors.
Ooh.
I thought I'd be fancy and treat myself.
Very fancy. You'll have to send me a photo of those.
I will do.
You have to put it on the Instagram.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Right, shall we get to the made to measure or transformate? Oh my God, what is wrong with me tonight? Shall we get to the transformation challenge?
The what challenge?
The transformation challenge.
Yes, let.
I literally just listed every other challenge apart from the one we're going to talk about. Oh my God, what is wrong with me? I will apologise in advance to everyone listening to this episode. This is my final week for submitting my research paper for college, and my brain has been turned to absolute mush just by referencing alone. For anyone who has done an academic paper, they will know what a nightmare referencing is.
Yes, you're giving me flashbacks to my final dissertation at uni.
Like I can't even function without putting it into a reference now. It's everything I type, I end up putting in brackets and square brackets and dating it and putting the URL link to it. And yeah, so I apologize in advance. My brain has turned to utter mush.
Right. So the transformation challenge, which was to take two shirts. Now, Esme and Patrick kept saying, oh, well, they're men's shirts. But there were a couple shirts in there that seemed a little bit silky and a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, not that men can't wear silky shirts.
No.
But it did kind of feel like some people had a bit more of an advantage where they were able to pick up the more kind of feminine, silkier materials. And then some people were left with quite bulky man shirts.
And yeah, so they had to produce a 1930s blouse. And there were adverts for blouses around the room. And it seemed to me there were a lot of puff sleeves, geometric elements, defined waist, added details like bows, ties, pleats and bibs. I'm not super familiar with 1930s blouses, so I would have had to have gone over and studied those adverts for quite a while before I'd kind of decided what direction I was going to go in. How would you have tackled this?
Close my eyes and just hope for the best. this is one. I mean, I had an idea of what to kind of have, what I would have had to have done, and I would have gone down the puff sleeve route, the big collar. But yeah, this one stumped me a little bit. I probably would have had a bit of a panic attack doing this one, to be honest.
I think I would have definitely headed towards a Peter Pan collar.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I'd probably started panicking about what I was going to do with the rest of it. So I'm quite impressed that we managed to get what we got from the contestants.
Yeah.
I think there were some really fantastic transformations there.
Yeah, there definitely were.
So going for fifth place, we've got Brogan, who had used a peach and multicoloured shirt that were kind of silky. I was getting very PJ or bowling shirt kind of vibes from one of them. And she produced a blouse using kind of the front piece and collar from one shirt and attached it to the other shirt and then fitted it. I think I agree with the judges. It definitely was giving quite a lot of pyjama feeling to the blouse.
Yeah, I definitely got that kind of pyjama vibe from it, which is a shame because even though there was a lot going on, and there were a lot of colours. I actually really, really liked this one. And this has got to be what one of the first times Brogan's ever come last, which scared me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It started to worry me going from fourth place to fifth place. I was like, come on, where's Brogan? Pattern perfect Brogan. What is going on here? Yeah, it was cute. There was a lot of colours. But yeah, I just feel like it did have a bit of a pyjama aspect to it, which kind of, when you're looking at what everyone else produced, I can kind of understand why Brogan ended up in fifth place.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think there was a bit too much going on here. Like, it was a bit of an assault on the eyes because the pattern fabric, so there's a lot of colours going on there. Then there was the piping. Then there was she'd added kind of like a frill. It looked like it was from broderie on glaze or something, or lace or something on there.
Yeah.
I think it probably could have done without that, because when they were looking at the pictures of the 1930s blouse, although there was some really interesting shapes to them, the actual blouses themselves were fairly plain. It didn't seem like there was a lot of pattern.
Yeah.
They were quite pared back and then just using interesting shapes or things added on. So I feel like if you're going to pick a busy pattern, keep the shirt really simple. Yeah. And I think maybe that's where she went wrong there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Moving on to Christian, he ended up producing a silky mint blouse with a Peter Pan, quite a large Peter Pan collar, and added a lace bow kind of thrown on at the end. He'd put elastic in at the waist to cinch it in. This was his second project, because he actually started something different using his first shirt and then didn't like where it was going and decided, no, I'm not going to save this. I'm just going to start again, which is quite brave when you've only got 90 minutes.
That was a very, very brave thing to do. Did it pay off, though? Yeah, I kind of preferred this shirt to the one that he was working on. So, yeah, it did pay off, but I think it was quite a risky one. When you've got such a limited amount of time, even if you don't really like it, you just got to kind of keep going and make it as good as it can be.
Yeah, you've got to really either double down on it and try to turn it around, or you've got to decide really early on, you know what, this needs to be abandoned and I need to start again. I loved the colour of the blouse, and I like the area that he was going in. I think if he'd had just a little bit longer, so if he'd have had those minutes where he was working on the other shirt, just to do this one a little bit finer, like do the collar a little bit nicer because it looked a little bit kind of thrown together, and if he'd done his tie instead of just kind of throwing that lace on, if it'd been a bit more considered and in a contrast, like a white or something, that would have kind of elevated it a bit, I think.
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I agree with the judges about the lace, like when they said it would have been nice to have seen the lace elsewhere on the top, so not just as that bow, maybe put around like the kind of cuffs of the sleeve. Or yeah, I liked it. It was cute. I'm not going to lie, mint green kind of gives me a bit of PTSD because it's the same colour as my work uniform. So I'm not going to lie, when I see mint green, I'm just automatically have work flashbacks. But yeah, it was cute. It was well done. I liked his use of fabrics. And yeah, I think had he maybe have started this one earlier and didn't have that moment where he was doing someone one and then gave up on it, it might have looked a bit nicer. But he did well. He did well. For someone who had limited time and then limited their time even more, he did a very good job.
Oh, I love mint green. I'm glad I didn't buy you anything mint green now for your birthday. Because talking about the 1930s at the moment, but someone's about to go into their 30s very soon.
Yeah, I have what's the date today? 16th. So I have less than 4 days of my 20s left, and then I will be joining the big 30 club.
And I just left the 30 club and went to the 40 club. So we're not going to be in the same decade ever.
No, it's such a shame. Like, we're literally just going to miss each other by a couple of months.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's, man. So someone sent me a very lovely birthday present. And despite the fact that I am soon to be a big 30 and should be a grown up by now, the temptation to open my birthday present early has been ridiculously great today. So I actually had to hide my own birthday present just so I can open it. So, yes, that's kind of a bit of a quite an appropriate sewing challenge with sewing from the 1930s. And I'm about to go into my 30s. So, yes.
For the listeners, that present I think he's talking about is probably from me, and I didn't mean to do that on purpose. I had to send it because it was the only day that I was going to be able to go into the post office, and I thought it's probably going to get there really early. So when I went into the post office, I did say to the lady behind the counter, I want to track this, but I want it to go really slowly. And she looked really confused. And I said, what's the slowest you can deliver this? And she was like, next day. And I was like, no, not next day. I don't want next day. I said, what's
like
the slowest?
Next month.
What's the slowest you could do? Just put it on a donkey. I don't care.
It's like pigeon mail.
And eventually she said, oh, I could do it second class. And I was like, yeah, second class is great. She was like, it's still probably going to get there in 2 to 3 days. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind. But you've been a very big boy and you've not opened it yet. So
no, I've not opened it. So I'm very much looking forward to that on Monday.
Yes, and you have to send me a picture when you do open it.
I will do.
Right, enough about birthdays.
Yep.
Let's go on to third place, which was Annie, who had produced a kind of yellowy and olive blouse. It had a front contrast panel, and she'd put interfacing in the head of the sleeves to make it kind of more structural and puffy, which I thought was quite a clever idea. I don't think I'd have come up with that idea. So well done, Annie. I thought that was really great. I thought it was quite cute. I didn't have any like strong opinions on it. What did you think?
It was cute. It was well constructed. I wasn't a fan of the color combination, but it was well done. I mean, Annie did sort of what Christian should have done, where this is what I've got, I just need to work with it and produce something to the best of my ability. She did well. I was really glad to see Annie kind of brought herself back after coming in last place in the last challenge. It was cute. I do agree with Patrick about the size of the ties. It would have been nicer to see them maybe a bit bigger. But I haven't really got anything to say about Annie's. It was cute. And
Yes. I think that's all we can say on that one. So moving into second place, we've got Deborah, who had chosen a leopard shirt and a black and gold spot shirt, which I thought were great grabs. And she produced a blouse with a pleat bib detail on the front. I thought the fit was really nice. She'd put a waistband which tied back into the bib kind of look. And then I noticed she'd used black binding on the sleeves at the hem to match back to that black bib, which I thought was quite a nice just little touch. And I thought there was a lot of clever ideas in this and quite nice little details. What did you think of this? Because I think you probably got an opinion.
What, just because it's leopard print, I'm going to have an opinion about it? I loved this. I thought it was so clever. And I mean, I'm quite into my clashing prints at the moment as well. So I liked the fact that she used the polka dot and the leopard print. I thought it was really, really clever. And to be honest, if it if I didn't get kicked out for the sewing alone, I would have probably been kicked out from this challenge for elbowing the contestants out of the way to get those fabrics. I probably would have been the one that got put in a timeout and like made to apologize to everyone because I've elbowed them in the ribs or pushed them over to get the fabrics that I wanted. Great fabric choice. It looked gorgeous. The bib detail was brilliant. And it just looks so well considered as well. It didn't look like she'd just gone, right, okay, I've taken a piece from that piece for that piece for that. And really, I need a piece like that sleeve and that one, but because I don't have those fabrics, I'll use that. It looked like it should have always looked like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it did look really well considered. And I think it looked like she had had a plan and known what the end goal was. And
yeah.
Quite clever with her time to allow her to do a lot of those little details. And I also think by week 8, Sean, people would have known if there was anything leopard print there to leave it alone and let you get to it.
Yeah. It's just like, everyone back away, let Sean go first, and then everyone else can take what was left over. Yeah, no, I leopard print is definitely my thing. I think if I ever got onto Sewing Bee, I would just say to the producers, just put all the leopard print to the side so no one gets hurt.
I think by week 8, they'll be like, oh, it's another leopard print dress from Sean.
No, they'll go, oh, Sean, I love the way that you've used this leopard print. Not, oh, another one. I love the way that you've reinvented leopard print for the 8th time this season.
Right, let's leave the leopard print.
Yeah.
Moving into first place, we have Manu, who had chosen, it was kind of like a mauvey pink and red combination. They both looked quite kind of silky and drapey, the shirts she'd got. And she'd produced a blouse with a double collar detail, which I think was incredibly clever. It had puff sleeves and ties at the bottom of the sleeves, kind of where the hems were. It was very elegant. The collar was super sharp. It looked almost historically accurate to me. It seemed when you first looked at it very simple, but actually when you got up close and looked at the different details she'd added in there, it was very complicated in the construction. But it seemed quite simple as an overview. And I thought this was such an amazing, amazing blouse. And I can easily see why she was first. And I thought possibly they were going to give this as garment of the week as well. What did you think, Sean?
I loved this so much. I mean, red and that kind of... red and purple are two colours that you've got to be very careful pairing anyway. They clash a lot. But she had made it in such a way that it, again, like Deborah's, it looked like it had always been that way. It was just so beautifully combined, beautifully sewn together. And it looked simple, but so chic at the same time. There wasn't any interesting seam work on it. It just looked like a classic, beautiful shirt. And the construction was fantastic. I am so ridiculously proud of Manu at the moment, because like I said earlier, there was a point I was a little bit worried about her, that she might be going home. Things got a little bit iffy for a little while, and it just makes me happy to see the person that I was really excited about at the beginning of this season kind of pull themselves back again. I'm dead proud of her, and I just thought this was beautiful.
Yeah, I also thought that this is the kind of shirt, because I'm not a massive fan of the colour, that kind of like mauvey, purpley pink colour, but I didn't mind it in this. And I actually thought when she'd finished it and the judges were looking at it, there are a lot of women that would probably like to wear something like mm-hmm. The Office. Like even nowadays, like not even the 1930s, like modern dress. I thought it was so clever that it had all the kind of hints and nods to the 1930s, but it still was something very modern and chic about it. And yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
It's that sort of top that could be used in almost any occasion. Go out for a nice lunch, wear it to work, popping down to the post office to post something that you're asking them to deliver it really slowly. It was a multi-purpose sort of top. It's not, I think sometimes like when we make stuff, we kind of have an idea of what we'd want to wear it for. And then it becomes a going out for a posh dinner, going out for drinks, going out for a lunch kind of, but this just worked for so many occasions and it was beautiful. Again, I'm so ridiculously proud of Man Yi, like seriously proud of her.
She was having such an amazing first day to get double first. That is like seriously good. I think she, you know, she nearly went for the hat trick.
Yeah.
Three. So talking about third challenge, let's have a look at the made to measure. So the made to measure was to produce a bias cut gown. Now, for people out there that maybe don't sew or aren't familiar with bias, the bias is cutting the fabric at a 45 degree angle. So normally you would cut your pattern pieces going with the grain of the fabric up and down, and when you have pattern pieces they normally have a grain line that you need to match and follow that's going with the grain of the fabric. But cutting on the bias means that the fabric will drape differently, it will be more relaxed, it'll have a tiny bit of stretch in it, but it does come with its own issues. Do you ever cut on the bias, Sean?
No. To be brutally honest, no, because it scares the absolute living daylights out of me. I would love to learn how to cut on the bias. I shouldn't be afraid of it because I do a lot of stretch wear stuff anyway. But because it's you're trying to get a certain drape out of the fabric as well, I think that's what terrifies me so much about it. And then maybe not so much the garment construction, but when it comes to things like hemming it, that would scare the living daylights out of me because that is possibly the most dangerous point when you're cutting on the bias is the hemming and finishing of the garment because it's so easy to stretch.
Yeah, so when working with the bias, it can be quite easy. And this is what I know that I would do this. I already could see me doing this. As you're sewing it, it could be quite easy to stretch and warp the fabric out of shape. And the problem with that is when you're working with a stretch fabric, it stretches and then it returns back to its original shape. But when you're working with a non-stretch fabric on the bias, once you stretch it, it will not return back to its original shape and it will then be kind of wavy and it'll be warped forever.
No matter how much you beg and plead and pray to every single deity that you can think of, it will not go back. And that is what scares me.
It's something that I would like to try and practice and have a go at because I've not really ever kind of, I don't think, cut anything on the bias and worked with it apart from a little bit of bias binding, but that's very kind of different. In menswear, there isn't a lot of outfits that you would probably cut on the bias.
No.
Like, I'm trying to think, and maybe if you had like a really kind of loose boxy shirt that you wanted to be quite drapey, you could probably cut on the bias, but I don't know, like, whether you would just find a different fabric which had a more of a drape to it naturally. I think cutting on the bias really is much more of a kind of women's wear and for gowns and dresses and where it is needed to be kind of clingy to the body but then kind of drop and fall and be relaxed nicely.
Yeah, no, it's definitely more of a women's wear sort of thing. I too am struggling to think of any men's wear. So if any of our listeners have any idea of what sort of men's wear is normally cut on the bias, please let us know.
Yeah, send us a little note. With the only other thing I can think of, I do want to do actually a shirt with like a ruffle, some kind of ruffle down the
front.
And I was thinking, oh, maybe you could cut the ruffle on the bias.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you cut ruffles as like a spiral, don't you? So part of them is on the bias and part of them isn't. So maybe that'll be something to practice in the future. That'll be
interesting to see.
Yeah, little project maybe for the future. The other thing I don't like about cutting on the bias, it not just the issues with handling the fabric, is I think it can be quite wasteful fabric-wise. I, when I'm cutting my fabric pieces, I'm always trying to put the pieces in different configurations and jigsawing them together and putting them as close as I possibly can because I hate waste fabric. So, but on the bias, you really have to just kind of lay them out, and it's, I think it's a lot trickier to cut with.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that, that it does seem a bit more wasteful because you're having to fold the fabrics in certain ways. And so, I'm gonna need to give that a try now. I need to find a pattern and I'll try cut it on the bias and try to keep it as minimal as possible and see what I can do. I'm curious now.
Right, so let's go in alphabetical order as we usually do. So in first we've got Annie, who had produced, it was kind of like a scarf or kind of sash detailed dress which kind of crossed over at the bust. It was in a beautiful red color. I thought this was incredibly glamorous. It was a great fit. It skimmed the model's curves. It had the diamante details, which I think she said were earrings, which I thought was genius. And I just thought it was so fabulous and old Hollywood glamour. I just, she'd looked at this brief, and I think she'd thought about it and about that kind of Hollywood glamour and thought, you know, what kind of thing would Marilyn Monroe wear, or, you know, some of the old classic actresses, and it was a massive hit for me. I thought this was fantastic.
It was beautiful. I mean, such a stunning, seductive, sultry color. It just looked amazing. And I got the old Hollywood glamour. It gave me kind of vintage burlesque vibes. It was just beautiful. So well constructed. The fit was amazing. It was just utterly, utterly beautiful. I mean, this was Annie's challenge.
Definitely. The other thing I wanted to mention as well, as the model was moving, because the dress is cut on the bias and it was quite a silky drapey fabric anyway, but because it's on the bias, the movement that it had, she was kind of creating her own wind when she was moving and kind of flowing, and the fabric looked like it was almost liquid. It was just so amazing. Like you could see someone wearing that to a really fancy do.
Hands down, it was beautiful.
So next we have Brogan, who had produced, it was a pink dress. It had a chevron kind of detail at the front, where the panels were kind of going up. She'd done fantastically well at matching all of the seams and the points. They were just perfection. She'd added some little diamante trim, which I think she had to hand stitch in, which looked like a nightmare. I haven't got the patience for that. The bust points were unfortunately a little bit too high. As a whole, this dress wasn't my cup of tea. I w just wasn't super into the paneling and the way that it kind of sat on the model, but it was a cute dress. I think a lot of girls would love to wear something like this.
It was beautiful. I will admit I was getting some more of a kind of 1920s vibe from it. Just from the front of I got more flapper girl rather than 1930s Hollywood glam. But it was beautiful. The colour was stunning. It was a really, really beautiful pink. It was just a shame, like, obviously, with the bust and some of the hems weren't too great. But overall, it did look stunning. it was very, very pretty.
Yeah, I think she did really well. Like, the construction just looked like superb. I thought, apart from the little issue at the kind of the bus where the points were a little bit too high, apart from that, I thought the rest of the construction looked amazing. So next up we have Christian. Now, this where it gets a little bit complicated. So Christian produced, it was like a wine colored V-neck dress with like large sleeves. It was made from a full waist stretch velvet. Now, I've written down here, does full waist stretch have a true bias? Question mark. Was it the case that maybe Christian hadn't fully understood the brief? Because when you think about 1930s, they wouldn't have had stretch fabrics. And the kind of point of this challenge was how to produce a dress that didn't have stretch, but would go over the contours of the body and fall nicely. Oh, so could he have done this out of a regular velvet with no stretch in it and done the regular velvet on the bias?
I think from my minimal experience with velvet doesn't exactly have a very good bias. I mean, depending on the heaviness of the velvet, I do completely agree that this is where it was a bit controversial, because no, stretch fabrics don't really have a true bias, because the bias is the stretchiest point. And actually, if you stretch material on the bias, it stretches the same as it would do on the grain. So yeah, this was one of those ones, because it was such a beautiful dress, and I hadn't quite twigged that you'd used a stretch until the judges pointed out. And yeah, I think the other problem was is that he might have cut it on the bias. So when you looked at like the back detail and it was quite open, I think had that had been just a normal fabric, it wouldn't have been as gapey at the back. And he wouldn't have needed to have put that little band in to bring the two edges together. Oh, I don't know, because this was actually, from front view, this was actually my favourite. But going with the brief, he didn't tick all of the criteria.
Yeah, I agree. I think the dress looked beautiful. I think it was giving me very sexy vampire, Adam's Family, Morticia,
yeah,
kind of vibes. And it was a beautiful dress, but did it meet the criteria of being a dress that was cut on the bias? And I don't think it did, unfortunately. And I'm a massive fan of Christian. I think his work is absolutely amazing. And what I also found amazing was, as he was making this dress, he was like, I didn't really like how the back is, I'm just going to change it on the fly. And I know personally, I would, if I was in one of the made to measure challenges, I would be following that instruction to the letter, to the full stop. I would be, you know, doing every step, and I wouldn't have the bravery to go away from what the pattern was telling me to do. So, I mean, Christian, he's got some cojones to be like, you know what, the pattern says this, but I don't really like where that's going.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my own path and do the back differently. So, I mean, good for him. It didn't quite work out. Esme wasn't that happy with the way the back was. But yeah, I think the elephant in the room is that using full waist stretch is not on brief. I think maybe he had ordered the fabric online. Then when you get there on the day, you suddenly pick it up and realise, this velvet has stretch to it.
Yeah.
So maybe he didn't even know until the day that it had stretch in it. And then once you're there, then you're a little bit stuck.
Yeah, you've got to use what you've got.
But it was a shame, because it was a beautiful dress. Any more comments on that,
or should we? I'm just a little bit heartbroken, because it was This has probably been the most controversial sew in Sewing Bee history. Like, using stretch fabric on a dress that's supposed to be cut on the bias. No, I loved it, but going by the criteria of the challenge, it was beautiful, but it didn't tick all the boxes. And yeah, I'm a little bit heartbroken, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, I have to critique this fairly, like I've done with everyone else, and he used the wrong, no matter how beautiful it was, he used the wrong fabric.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there, we've all done projects, so we've used the wrong fabric, but unfortunately he was on TV in a competition.
Mm-hmm.
So next up we have Deborah, who had used a golden yellow fabric, and it was kind of almost like a halter neck gown, which had a scoop back kind of drape at the back of the dress, which I thought was incredibly sexy.
Yeah.
I thought that the finish on the dress was excellent. Like, the seams, she'd done like French seams, I think, pretty much everywhere. The hem was beautifully done, absolutely beautifully done. It was incredible when they did like a little close up of it. The only issue was, which we mentioned a little bit earlier, is she had stretched the fabric where she'd done the underarm seams, and once that stretched, there's no saving it. So it was kind of gapey under the arms when the model kind of lifted her arms up, which was such a shame because I thought this was an absolutely beautiful dress.
I have to admit, this was my least favourite.
I
love the colour yellow, but there was something about this particular colour that I was not a fan of. From the back, it was stunning, but all I could notice was the gappy underarm side boob section where it'd been warped. And I think that is what ruined it for me, because that was all I could look at, was that kind of gappy effect. It looked like it just didn't fit properly. So yeah, if I was to rate them, I would have probably put this fourth, just because Christian would have got fifth for using stretch.
Oh, interesting. This would have been my third, I think.
No, I think this definitely would have been my fourth, with kind of Manye and Brogan kind of tied for second and third place, Annie in first, and yeah, Christian fifth, just because he used stretch.
Interesting. Right. Okay, well, talking about Manye, Manye's the last person to discuss. She had used the same pattern as Annie.
Yeah,
used it in kind of a white ivory fabric, and I thought it was very elegant. I thought it again had a nod to the kind of old Hollywood glamour. There was a brooch detail at the shoulders. Unfortunately, Manny hadn't finished the edges on the inside of the dress as neatly as she could have done, and the zip wasn't sitting centrally on the back. I thought they were like fairly minor issues, really. I thought it was a beautiful dress. I was kind of a little bit surprised, because I would have thought Manu, she seems quite into detail, and I would have thought, I don't know if there was something happened along the way somewhere, maybe something went wrong or she lost time somehow. But normally I think she would be very into like the little details like that. So I'm not sure kind of what happened there. What did you think about it?
I thought this was beautiful. I got proper kind of old school vintage bridal from it. I could actually see someone wearing this down the wedding aisle. I thought it was beautiful, but yeah, it was just those little construction details, the seams not being finished, that yeah, it did let it down a little bit. But I just thought this was beautiful. I mean, it was risky. mean, obviously they're not going to know who's using what pattern, but when you've got two people that are working from the same pattern, there is going to be a massive comparison between the two of them. So yeah, I thought she did really well. I've got a feeling it may have been the cutting on the bias that might have thrown Manya a little bit, but she did a good job. I thought this was beautiful. I got the old Hollywood glamour. I got vintage bridal. It ticked all the boxes for me.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I hadn't thought about it at the time, but looking back now, this would make a really beautiful wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see somebody walking down the aisle in that with just a very simple veil, nothing over the top, just like a very simple kind of vintage style veil. That would be absolutely stunning. Not that I'm planning on making any bridal wear, but if I did, I would like to make something like that. Beautiful. It's funny. I get lots of emails from the different fabric companies and pattern companies and stuff. And I normally, the day after Sewing Bee or 2 days after Sewing Bee, there'll be an email from them saying, these are the patterns that they use this week on Sewing Bee. Da, 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 and these are the fabrics they use. Da, 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 da. Recreate the look yourself. And I always have a little bit of a chuckle to myself, but maybe I'll have to write that pattern down actually.
Yeah, no, definitely would. And you know what? If you want to recreate yourself that dress, go for it.
For me?
Yeah, for you.
For when me and Alex finally turn our civil partnership into a wedding.
Yeah, that is a wedding I want to see.
My big ass wandering down the aisle.
Yeah, in a white bias cut vintage 1930s gown.
Oh, I can't wear white, but...
To be fair, can anyone wear white these days?
it'll be an ivory. It'll be an
I couldn't wear white just because I'm a messy eater as well. Like I would end up like putting ketchup on my bridal dinner and then getting it like, all over my like nice white clothes. And yeah, first dance, there's me with a tomato ketchup stain down the front of me.
I'm going to have a matching bib made so I can wear that dinner.
Good shout. That is a just good shout.
A giant bib that just goes around me while I eat. And then, but it's made from the same fabric. So
So no one really notices it from a distance that you're not actually, you're wearing an extra layer. That is a good shout. I think that's something that could be marketed.
There we go. We've got an idea. Business idea.
Yeah. Dragon's Den. Here we come.
Bride bibs.
Bridal bibs.
Bridal bibs by Robin Sean.
Yeah. So... for those who messy brides wanted to have spaghetti on their wedding day.
I'll give you £10,000 for 10% of the business.
I'll give you a fiver not to ever talk about this idea ever again.
Oh, right. Well, that was all of the contestants.
Yeah.
So, Garment of the Week, Annie, do you agree?
100%.
Me too.
Like, there was no other garment that could compare to what Annie produced. Hands down, she deserved Garment of the Week. I am so freaking proud of Annie. Again, a bit like Manu, we had a couple of ropey stages where I thought, oh, could she end up going this episode? And she has pulled it back. She has fought for her place. I am so proud of her. I just think this was absolutely gorgeous.
The only other thing that I thought could be Garment of the Week was Manny's 1930s transformation. I thought that was really great, but Annie's dress was spectacular, really. So, and then the sad thing we have to say was we lost Christian this week, and it was the last boy sewer.
I'm not going to lie, when I first watched this episode, I was kind of dipping in and out because I was doing my essay. But I kind of caught the bits where it's like Brogan was in fourth place, then Brogan was in fifth place. And I'm sat there going, oh my God, is Brogan going to get kicked out of this episode? Like, we were shocked by Marnie's exit. And I thought, oh my God, like, this is someone that we've had down for being in our top three. Like, are we about to lose the second one? Are we going to have to really rethink a whole top three? Or have we, by predicting top three, actually set people up for fail?
You think, are we cursing people?
Yeah, we've accidentally cursed the sewing bee by like setting targets for certain sewers. But yeah, I'm gutted. Christian's gone. Yeah, it's a shame. I'm still waiting for the boys to win it again. But you know what? It wasn't his week. You could see it in like some of the clips that he just really was not feeling this episode at all. And I think it would have been unfair for any of the others to have been sent home.
You know, I think that if he had a different fabric for the made to measure, like if he'd have had like some kind of satin or something and done it well, I think Brogan would have gone. I think Brogan kind of saved herself with the dress that she did, which was nice, but it wasn't perfect. It was nice. And then I think Christian, by doing the four-way stretch, kind of condemned himself to going home.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And I think had he just chosen a different fabric, I think he could have really have saved himself. But oh my god, could you imagine like the semi-final without Brogan?
I know it would have been a massive shock because she's so skilled. I'm going to be really sad to see Christian go. I think quite a few of the sewers seemed quite upset by his departure. Well, they all did. But it's Christian on social media is quite prolific with his sewing projects. It's quite interesting to see what he's been up to. He's been reupholstering a sofa. He's been making all sorts of stuff. So if you don't follow him, go and find him and check him out, because he has got some really fantastic and very inspirational makes on there, actually. He's actually inspired me to do a few things. So go and check him out.
And just speaking of departed Sewing Bee contestants, I'd just like to give a little shout out to Jill, who I didn't realise was a listener of the show. And after our last episode aired, she actually sent us a little voice note, which reduced both me and Rob to tears again. So thanks, Jill. That's twice you've made us cry now. But yeah, it was very lovely to hear. And you know what? It's actually terrified me a little bit, because I mean, Marnie's responded to when I called her out for slagging off leopard print, and now Jill's sent us voice notes. I was like, I didn't actually realize that there were certain people listening to our podcast, so maybe we need to start thinking about critiques. Maybe we just need to be really nice to everyone.
I think we are pretty nice, to be
fair. Oh yeah, I think we are pretty nice, and we've had some lovely, lovely comments. But yeah, Jill in particular, you really had a place in both of our hearts, and then you made me cry whilst I was at work, and everyone was just staring at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why have you just started crying at work? I couldn't really explain it to people either, so I was just kind of like, oh, I'm tired. And just like, I'm not having a mental breakdown at work, I promise.
I
you made me cry again. Seriously, woman, stop making me cry.
I was at my mum's house with my sister, and we were having our little resin play date where we were putting flowers in resin and stuff. And I got a WhatsApp message from Sean saying, go on Instagram now, Jill's left a message. And I was like, oh, what's going on? What's happening? And then played it and got quite tearful with my mum and my sister. And then came home afterwards and thought, right, I need to actually listen to this properly. And played the message again with my husband sat there. And yeah, just started bawling again. Because it is a really important thing that we were talking about last week. And I did get quite emotional. I didn't really get to cover the whole topic that I wanted to talk about, which was representation and how Sewing Bee has done amazingly at representing lots of different people. And I think it's so important for people to see a reflection of themselves doing something like sewing or baking or, you know, anything like that to see, and for other people to see, you know, all walks of life. So it was a really, really important message. And no more tears.
No more tears. But we are going to hold her to grabbing that selfie.
Yes, most definitely.
I think we definitely, I think it would be awesome to try. We need to try get a collection of selfies with all of the contestants. But I think Jill has to be our first one.
Well, when I went to the Last Stitch show, and I'm hoping that you'll be at the one in October, possibly, if you're not too busy with uni. I think we need like a bingo card with the sewing bee faces on. And then as we see them, we tick them off.
Like a great plan.
I think I saw three last time. I saw Mark Francis from series 7 or 6. I can't remember now.
I've lost track.
Yeah. And then I also saw Mercedes, who I absolutely love, but I was too starstruck to say hello to her. And then I felt really bad afterwards because I thought, oh, I wanted to say hello and I didn't. And I just kind of stood there like a complete idiot because I was tongue-tied and starstruck. But yes, at this Stitch show, Sean, we need our bingo cards.
Yeah.
Our sewing bee bingo cards so we can tick people off and get lots of selfies.
Yeah. And if Marnie's there, I'm going to wear some leopard print.
It has to be made out of bedding, leopard print bedding, though.
Oh, I can do that. I've got leopard print bedding at the moment.
There we go.
That's fine. I can do that.
You whip something up out of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, we need a selfie with Marnie as well, because I think he's hilarious. Are your top three the same?
Yeah, I'm really struggling this time round. Really, really. I mean, I know I always struggle and always like have a top 12 and then a top 7 and then a top 8. But I am really, really struggling with this one. I think the one person I'm probably worried about at the moment is Brogan, which I never thought I'd say.
Interesting.
I am a little bit worried about Brogan because I feel like Annie and Manny have sort of stolen her thunder a little bit. I think my top three are Manny, Annie and Brogan.
Ooh, okay.
I love Deborah. This is no shade or beef with Deborah, but I just think I connect more with the other three than I do with Deborah.
Interesting. See, I have Manny and Brogan, and my last slot, I've got Deborah, even though Annie just got Garment of the Week. I don't know. See, they're all so good. I think you could have any combination of those kind of four in that top three. I think they're all amazing.
Next week, the judging is literally going to get down to the smallest stitch detail.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough. And I think it's going to basically just depend on if anyone has a really bad day and be kind of it for them. So I guess we better wrap up. Is there any points that you'd like to make?
No, but I would just love to give a little shout out to Annie's mannequin that made a run for it. It still makes me smile that moment because, again, I just find Annie so relatable and I absolutely adore her. But yeah, in the blind panic, I would probably be that sort of person that would drop kick their mannequin across the room and... Yeah, it just made me chuckle. That was possibly the highlight of this episode for me.
I was getting triggered by that because when I was on a certain TV show with Kirsty Allsop, I had to put some clothes on a mannequin, and because it was during COVID, no one could come near me and help, and I was struggling to get a pair of pyjamas on a mannequin and the arms and legs were falling off. And
yeah, I remember.
They cut a lot out, but there was a full kind of 5 minutes of me trying to put this thing on and arms falling off. And Kirsty also stood next to me, well, just over 2 meters away, absolutely wetting herself as I was wrestling, literally straddled this mannequin trying to get the trousers on. It was very embarrassing, but at the same time, hilarious. And one other thing, actually, I wanted to say that I actually loved from this episode as well was when Brogan was sat at the overlocker and she was overlocking something, I think, on her sailor trousers, and Christian had come over to have a look to see what she was doing.
Yeah.
And he got up really close to her and she was just kind of stood there looking forward. And then she turned and she was like, "You're really close to my face right now." And he whipped back. I've actually taken a photo of the screen because I thought it was so hilarious. It made me laugh out loud. I actually was cracking up at it.
I mean, we've been so used to the whole pandemic, like 2 meters apart, that, yeah, I mean, my spatial awareness and my kind of personal space, like, if someone comes in, like, a meter and a half too close to me, I'm just like, yep, no. Please back off. So yeah, it's, I could kind of get where she was coming from, but yeah, that did make me chuckle.
Right, then we'd better wrap up. So
we better wrap up now.
If you would like to, you can leave us a review on whichever platform you listen to us on. If they have reviews on there, that always helps. It means other people can find us if we have a higher rating, and it's just nice to hear. You can follow us on social media if you don't already, and give us a message. You can send us a voice message as well, I think, on the Anchor app. I think you can send us a voice message. You just need to go into there. I think you might be able to get to it through Spotify, possibly. I should probably look all this up before I start talking about it. Take care, everyone. Have a good week. That's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.